Heather, what was it like growing up as a Jehovah's Witness?
Being a Jehovah's Witness, I'll say it was had its good things and its bad things. I mean, I'm not like bashing on the witnesses or anything like that, because it definitely gave my family like core values to live off of and morals, stuff like that. But it was more of like a religion based on like fear. And like they were very afraid of like demons and things like that. And it was kind of like not a real loving religion. It was more of just like the wrath of God. They also don't believe like in the Trinity. You know, they don't believe, they just believe in God and then the Son.
So they believe that Jesus is a separate being altogether.
Yes. And no Holy Spirit.
No Holy Spirit?
No.
So they don't believe in like any of the powers of the Holy Spirit? Nothing like that?
Not that we ever were taught. Now going back, this was probably when we left the church, I was 16. So I don't know what they've kind of come to now, but most of the time it was just like God and Jesus. And like I said, the Father, the Son, and it was more of just like God's wrath. And it was a lot of works, like, basically, like we had to go out in service, what they called it, on Saturday, go knocking on the doors, which
I remember getting those knocks
everybody,
on the door.
That was horrible. I was like always hoping people wouldn't answer. No, that's terrible. It was true. I was like, oh no, please don't answer. But I was just a kid, so yeah. It was very scary. And then, but we'd have to give them a pamphlet. They would give us a little script to say. But yeah, it was more for me. It was just more of like, it actually scared me away from religion. When we left, I didn't really want to be in any religion ever again. I didn't want to be like controlled like that. And so it took a long time for me to come around to actually going back to like a church.
How did your family get involved with Jehovah's Witnesses? How did they become Jehovah's Witnesses?
My mom said that they came knocking on her door.
Yeah.
And this was when my older siblings were just really young. So I wasn't even born yet. And basically, they came knocking on her door and started talking to her. And she said the way it was, it's like basically they just said, if you don't do this religion, like, you know, your whole family will go to hell. You're not going to make it to the new world. Oh. So it was more of really just like a scary thing.
Like a traumatic kind of response of trying to prevent that from happening.
Yes, exactly.
When did they think the world was going to end?
It was in the 80s, and that didn't happen, of course. But that's another thing we didn't really, like back then, they didn't, like I said, I don't know now, that was 20 years ago, 30 mm-hmm. years ago. Oh, geez, I'm aging myself. But it's been a long time, so I can't say for now, but they didn't push, like it was mainly the men had to get jobs mm-hmm. and education. The girls just stayed home and took care of the family.
Mm-hmm.
They never pushed college. They really weren't even pushing college at that time for even the men, because they thought the world was going to come to an end.
Yeah, yeah. I read a little bit about the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses. And he had done some calculations. He did believe that the world was going to end, I think, originally at some point in the 1800s when he first started the religion. And he mm-hmm. thought that he had calculated it. And then he changed the calculations again. But I think it's pretty interesting if you look at the background of it.
Like I say, I think they have good things. I think all religions have good and bad. I really do that. I do believe that. I feel like all religions have little pieces of good and bad,
mm-hmm.
Just because they are more man-made. Now, it's for me, it's more of like, I don't want to say I'm in like a religion, but I just want to be basically follow Jesus's laws and Jesus's teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ever really want to go with that like strict of the law kind of thing.
Most people, I think, when they think of Jehovah's Witnesses, they think primarily of just not celebrating like Christmas and stuff like that. So what was the reasoning behind that?
Well, they basically, birthdays were not celebrated at all. Christmas was not celebrated at all. They believe Christmas was just really, they said it really wasn't they Jesus's birth. They weren't quite sure when Jesus was born, so they weren't going to just pick a day. And not just that, they said they don't sell. It was they say Christmas was based on paganism and pagan gods, but more than that, they said it's because they don't celebrate his birth; they only celebrate his death. Which they don't even celebrate the resurrection. It's mainly his death. So once a year they have like a memorial. It's called a memorial. And they do communion. And they only do communion once a year. And it's basically to celebrate his death. And they call it the memorial. Everyone gets together to celebrate Jesus' death. But like it's because it's kind of around Easter time.
Yeah.
But they don't celebrate Easter as well because it's like a pagan holiday. But for them, it's just like we're not celebrating anything like that to do with a lot of the pagan stuff.
Why not birthdays?
Birthdays, they just don't believe in, just like because we don't celebrate Jesus' birthday. They will celebrate anniversaries.
Okay.
They drink. They will drink. But yeah, birthdays, are they're just like, no. We don't celebrate Jesus' birthday, so we're not going to celebrate any of our birthdays. That's weird, but
yeah.
I mean,
when you look at the grand scheme of so many religions, I mean, it's one that tried to kind of go back through the Bible and sort of reinterpret it, because a lot is lost in translation with the Bible. There are so many translations in the Bible, and it can make things look very, very different when you're trying to do that yourself.
I agree.
So it's kind of, and I think some religions can have some really interesting ideas. And if you look at it, I do think it's very, very interesting that they notice the paganism that's in the holidays that we celebrate. And we both celebrate these holidays. You celebrate them now. You didn't celebrate them as a child. And I've always celebrated them. And I mean, I love them. I love the memories and all that sort of thing. But there are a lot of pagan rituals that were participating in.
I know you were researching stuff. What did you find out, like, on Easter, for example?
Well, for Easter, the weird thing about that was it's actually literally based on this goddess. Her name was Easter, or they also can call her Ostara. And she's, I believe, from, like, the ancient Germanic pagan religion. But it's pretty interesting. She's associated with fertility, with bunnies, with all of that sort of thing. She has sort of an angelic presence.
Interesting.
If you read about her, a lot of what is known about her has been destroyed. You can't really find it. So, but there's a lot of she's associated with spring, and the holiday that they celebrated for her, Easter, was celebrated the Sunday after the first full moon of the spring, which is called the worm moon.
Wow.
And that's actually, if you look at like Easter and why we celebrate it, not with Passover, the reason why it's celebrated when it's celebrated is because it's still celebrated on the same day as they used to in the ancient Germanic pagan religions. So it's very, very interesting, the little things that get snuck in there. Even our weekdays, the weekdays that we currently use. So we use Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're all associated with Norse gods.
Wow.
Friday is associated with Frigg, who was a Norse goddess. And even I think Wednesday is associated with Woden or Odin. So, which is, you know, the all-father of Norse religion. But there's a lot of ancient Germanic and Norse mythology that gets kind of woven into our daily life. And that's just that part. If you get into the Roman aspect, the Roman and Greek mythology, that's extremely woven in there as well.
That's so interesting. The thing is, we don't realize our every little day rituals or things we do that came from that kind of stuff. That's what I said. I think the witnesses did touch on things. I think they had some things right.
Maybe, yeah.
But just with the paganism. I mean, of course, I don't celebrate Easter now because of, you know, like the Easter God or her. But it's more for Jesus. But it's kind of how they wanted to take Jesus out of everything in retrospect.
Yes.
Like, just like they tried covering things up in the Bible and changing translations and taking things out and
Yeah.
stuff like that. It's kind of like it's always wanting to take Jesus out of everything.
I think so. And kind of just touching on like the removal of Jesus from so many texts or so many religions. We've talked about this a lot, but I read the Book of Enoch, which was removed from the Bible. And I always assumed that it really wasn't a real part of the Bible. It was not canonical. But then if you really research it, it was used so much. And in other parts of the Bible that are in there, they're canon, it's directly quoted. The text from the Book of Enoch is used, it's directly quoted by all these other prophets in the Bible. Wow. And so to say that it doesn't belong there, but to find out that, you know, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, it was uncovered, there were many, many copies of it.
Yeah.
It was a very popular book. It was a very well-read book. There is no doubt that Jesus read this book.
Of course.
There's no doubt that he studied it. There's no doubt that he, that his followers and the apostles, that this was a part of their religion. And as they went forth spreading the good news, it was something that they carried with them for a very long time. And at some point, whenever the Holy Roman Empire kind of came in, and they sort of said, okay, we've got the knowledge of God. He's blessed us. He's ordained us. He's made us holy. And so now we're going to make an official Bible. Because back then they just walked around with lots of different scrolls.
Yes.
They wanted to put it all together. And they sat on like a board and they basically just said, this belongs in there, this doesn't. This belongs in there, this doesn't. They removed it. And one of the strange things is, and this is a few hundred years after Jesus' death. And this is after the Roman Empire has persecuted Christians this entire time. But after they removed that book, they just kind of put it aside. Nobody was supposed to read it anymore. And once it was uncovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they still don't acknowledge it as actually being a part of their Bible. And the only religion, I believe, that has consistently kept it as part of their Bible was the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. And it's so interesting, the information that you find in there, just so much, I feel, is indicative of Christ. I feel like, well, it paints a picture of Christ.
Why do you think they don't want it in there? Why do you think they took it out in the first place?
Honestly, I think, number one, it paints a different picture of God.
Mm-hmm.
There is a picture of God, just like you were talking about, that the Jehovah's Witnesses often kind of had more of a fear of God, whereas this is a picture of a very loving God. Mm-hmm. He really didn't want to pass judgment. Even when his angels were fallen, it was very hard for him to pass judgment upon them. He still loved them very much. And the humans, his people, he loved them. He didn't want to do this. It was a struggle. It was a very painful thing. Not only that, but it really rips away some of the fear of demons because, you know, like we've talked about before, that fear of demons, that is not of God. Jesus did not fear demons. Demons feared Jesus.
That's right.
So if we have the Holy Spirit, we're not supposed to be afraid of them.
That's true.
No matter what we're watching in the media that wants us to feel fear of them, they're afraid of us. They're afraid of our power. They'll do anything they can to keep us down.
That's true.
That, I think that's another reason why that end would be okay with that being removed. But it's also paints a picture of the future, and it paints a picture of what I believe is that loving side of God that manifests itself as Jesus. And it's really, really hard to deny the Messiah when you're reading that book and it's so old and it's before he came to earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult to deny it. It's also, you have to then understand and be aware of the constant spiritual warfare.
That's true.
There were these fallen angels. They mated with the humans. They created this offspring, and they're still roaming the earth.
You see, the witnesses did talk about that. I mean, that
the fallen
was
angels.
They did talk about the fallen angels. They talked about how they came to earth, you know, and mated with the women and had the children.
Mm-hmm.
They did, you know, teach on that. A little. I mean, they never got into too in depth with it, but they did teach on that. But it was kind of more of just like fear. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to fear them, or like, don't, just anything to do with anything. I had a friend where she couldn't even watch Mary Poppins.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, she couldn't even watch Mary Poppins because they said she was a witch.
Mary Poppins was a witch?
Yes. So the witnesses, like, she wasn't even allowed to watch that. There were several shows, and like, I know there's bad shows out there. I wouldn't even let my son watch, like, you know.
Yeah, of course. Shows.
But
of course.
This is just kind of like certain things kind of like that. Kind of like the Pokemon stuff.
Yes.
Like, anything to do with stuff like that. But I just thought the Mary Poppins was really out there.
Yeah.
I mean.
Such a sweet kind of innocent movie that's filled with fantasy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and I know they don't allow Smurfs.
No. There was actually a story. I wasn't there. I never saw it happen. But there was a story going around where a lady was walking into church. Her son had a Smurf. They're walking into the witness hall. And the Smurf jumped out of his hand and ran off.
I don't mean to laugh. Maybe it happened.
I don't know.
Maybe it happened. I mean, I'm
just saying. I don't know. That put terror. And then I remember my brother, I believe he had a Smurf. We had to get rid of the Smurf teddy bears after that.
Okay.
That, and then my mom, this is going to age me too, but like at the mall, they used to have this store called like Wicks and Sticks.
Yes.
And they had the candles and stuff.
Yeah.
And my mom bought this. It was really pretty. It was this beautiful like tree. And then it did kind of have like little, it had eyes, nothing evil. Mm-hmm. It was a tree. You put a candle in it and the eyes kind of glowed.
Yeah.
But we used to have like studies. They'd call them like studies at our house. And they'd pick different houses to have little studies during the week.
Mm-hmm.
But they saw my mom's candle and they just told my mom that that's evil. She needs to get rid of that. So she threw it away.
What did they think was wrong with the candle?
I don't know. That's the point. I don't know.
Did they feel like maybe it was possessed? Was that the feeling or the vibe that you got
maybe
from it?
Maybe it was just kind of like devilish. I don't know. I mean, it was a tree. And it had little sticks going up. So maybe it could look like horns. I didn't think it looked like horns. But you know, it was branches. Just branches all around. Because then you put the candle inside.
Well, trees are a very, very important part of... Really, it seems like every religion, but Christianity included, the tree is such an important part of it, from the tree of life,
mm-hmm.
And then the tree of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of pagan associations with trees. I wonder if that's what they were digging into.
It could be, because I think that's one of the things about Christmas. They said that one of the pagan gods, or basically they would sacrifice babies under trees, and that's kind of where
I haven't heard that. I mean, I've heard of that before as far as Jehovah's Witnesses, but I haven't found any
evidence of it.
Yeah, religion that did that.
Yeah, well, me neither, but that's just what they said. This is all coming of just stuff that I've heard at the church.
Now, I know that the Norse mythology or the Norse religion, they believe that we came from trees.
Interesting.
It's very, very interesting. And they believe in an end of the world. Most religions do have an end of the world theory, whether it's Armageddon, mm-hmm. Ragnarok. But they believe that we came from trees. They have found a lot of their ancient like statues are actually some of the oldest statues in the world were actual like they were carved out of trees to look like men and women.
Interesting.
And they found them in like these bogs and stuff in some part of Germany. But it's just, it's very interesting. They think that we came from trees, and they think that at the end of the world, two people, a man and woman, will be saved by a tree.
Only two?
Yes.
Oh, by, God.
Well, because they think that it's...
I'm screwed.
They believe it's silical. So people will die and go to heaven, their form of heaven, and then, which is a different name. But they believe that it'll start all over again with like an Adam and Eve. But their Adam and Eve have a different name. I think their names are Ash and Embla, and they
interesting.
Came from
trees. That's so funny. I mean, it's interesting for sure to think mm-hmm. about how things came from.
Yes, and the Muslims, I think they believe that we were formed out of clay,
mm-hmm.
and then of course, Christian or Jewish religion is that we came from dirt.
Yes.
So it's kind of it's very interesting.
It is interesting.
So, but going back to the, because I'm stuck on the Smurf thing. What was it about the Smurfs besides the one that went crazy at the Kingdom Hall? What was it about Smurfs in particular that was bad?
I think it has to do with like who's the bad guy? Who's the guy that was always after the Smurfs?
Gargamel.
And isn't that's supposed to be like some evil, I don't know, like God, or was it an evil
Like a scientist, an evil scientist, or an evil, kind of like an evil genius scientist, and he's a giant, and he wanted to corrupt the Smurfs, and so he used like scientific methods. And then the Smurfs themselves, now they practice magic.
Oh, well, then that's probably it.
Yeah.
'Cause see, I didn't know really why. It's kind of like they didn't really give us answers. It was more like, I mean, if you wanted answers, you had to dig and just try to, or you'd hearsay. But it's kind of like there wasn't an answer. But if anything to do with magic, yes, definitely. That's it. Just like kind of like the Mary Poppins thing. You
Yeah.
weren't allowed to watch Mary Poppins because she was magic.
Well, I do remember reading that as far as like the Magi, that y'all, or the Jehovah's Witness religion, they don't believe in the three wise men because they were Magi. So they read the stars, which it's actually believed basically now that they were Zoroastrian. And they, you know, that was kind of their religion, which that's an extremely old religion that's very closely associated with Judaism, but they kind of just have their differences. But they believed in a Messiah also, and they believed that they would see the signs in the heavens and the signs in the stars. So that's why we start out with Jesus being visited by these wise men that saw the signs in the sky. But I guess. So they're very against maybe astrology
Yes. Oh, yeah, you're
or
not even allowed to read your horoscope.
okay.
Like, you can't read a horoscope. I remember being like scared. Like, you know, when the newspapers or wherever you get your horoscope. Yeah, don't read it. Like, of course, and of course, like fortune tellers or psychics, you ain't supposed to mess with that. Which, I mean, there are scriptures in the Bible that says certain things about, don't talk to the dead or things like that, which that's fine. I wouldn't do that anyway. But it's kind of like, it's just a little extreme, I think.
A lot of it is, well, because a lot of it is in the Old Testament where we have, a lot of rules in Leviticus. And then sometimes when I'm reading the Old Testament, I'm really struck by the things that sound sort of like other, I don't know, because I grew up Southern Baptist, so I have similar kinds of things. But I mean, we weren't supposed to believe in zodiacs or anything like that either. And of course, witchcraft. Don't practice witchcraft. Like, that's the most evil thing you could possibly do. But I am struck when I read the Old Testament of the things that I read. And when they're talking about sort of like the building and cleansing of the original temple, and Aaron is the priest, and he's wearing this, what is it? It's a plate, and it's made with all of these different crystals. So we kind of like, if you think about being like kind of a crystal girl nowadays, and I like my crystals or whatever. I just think things like that, God's power can kind of show through, and it doesn't mean that that object has power. I just like rocks, really,
I know
but
you do.
I like the idea of the symbolism of like a healing stone. I like the idea of sometimes I think we need the symbolism of things, like
That's
Jesus
true.
when he put the mud in the blind man's eyes.
Very
It
true.
was like that's what that man needed. And so even though it required an object,
Yes.
or when he's banishing demons, sometimes, or when he's healing people, sometimes he doesn't even need to be there to heal them. Sometimes he has to lay hands on them, or sometimes they have to lay a hand on his robe to heal. So it's kind of like he meets you where you're at with your faith. And I don't think I mean, me personally, I know there's a lot of people that would disagree, but I don't really think there's anything wrong with those healing stones or things like that. I don't think it's against God.
No, I don't
And
either.
a big indication of that would be in the Old Testament when they're making the plate made for the priest, and it has all these specific different stones for each of the 12 tribes, and they're eerily enough, there's stones that people are passing around now and attributing all these different things to.
Interesting.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things, though, in that Old Testament that strike me as kind of odd. And as far as their rituals go, as far as the incense and just the sacrifice, which, of course, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, so
Yes.
we need no more sacrifice.
Yes.
But it is very interesting. One thing that really caught me too, while we're talking about it, is there is a section where it's talking about how there's a very specific ritual where they need to take this goat through the woods. I don't know if you've read this.
I
I'm
don't
sure
think
you
so.
have, but maybe I've read it before and I just glossed over it in my mind because sometimes some of that stuff will just go and I won't really even pick it up. But they take this goat all through the woods, and there's this whole ritual. Like, this guy has to signal this guy, and this guy has to signal that guy. Then they throw it off the cliff, and it goes down. It bleeds. It dies. It's dead. It's gone. And there's a couple of translations of that. So in the King James translation, at least I think it's the King James version, it's translated as it's called the scapegoat, which is where we get the term scapegoat.
Fascinating.
In another translation, an older translation, it says it's given to Azazel, which is a name mentioned in the Book of Enoch. So a sacrifice or a sort of ritual to represent Azazel's a fallen angel.
Yes.
And I think it's meant to symbolize what's written in the Book of Enoch, but it makes no sense without the Book of Enoch. So, but what happened in the Book of Enoch is, I believe Raphael came down, he seized the devil, as we know it, or these fallen angels, and he actually bound them. They're bound currently, according to that scripture. And so, if they're bound, it kind of represents that whole sort of process of what happened, because he throws him off a cliff and then goes down and binds him. So if you look at things like that, though, they're very interesting when you add in these other layers of context, because context is everything. And I think just with the magic or with the astronomy or with whatever, because it's telling us, look for signs in the heavens, look for
It
signs
does
in the
tell us
stars.
that.
Yeah. And as far as like prophecy or prediction, it says like your sons and daughters will prophesy. They will
Yeah,
dream dreams.
that's true.
And then as the Holy Spirit comes in, we've got all sorts of things. We've got speaking tongues. We've got understanding these tongues and these languages. We have healing abilities and casting demons out. Jesus was accused of using demons to perform some of his
Yes,
miracles.
that's true.
So I think we just have to be open-minded and try our best to sort of connect those religions together. But I do really think that Jehovah's Witness, they had a beautiful peace. And I think that's why it resonated with so many, is there is that little piece that they noticed that these rituals were not all our own.
Yes, I agree with that. I mean, in all religions, I think have corruptness, like I said. I think Catholic Church, the
Oh yeah.
Baptists,
Yes.
they're all just man-made religions, and men, a lot of the time, just men wanting control.
Absolutely.
So I just feel like, like it's, I'm not bashing on any one religion. I think all of them have bits and pieces of truth, bits and pieces of truth. And we won't know
Yeah.
till Jesus comes back, I guess.
Yeah, and then I guess, and then I think well, I mean, that'll be wonderful. A 1,000-year reign of perfection and peace. That would be lovely at this point.
I do feel though, like being out of the witnesses, it's definitely a more loving relationship with Jesus. Like, it's not like, I mean, of course, I mess up and I'm like, oh God, why do I keep doing the same stuff over and over? And I'm like, I don't know why you keep putting up with me, and I feel bad, but it's not like a condemning, like where I have to be perfect. Because that's kind of how it is, like in certain religions, you feel like you have to have this perfectness, and we're not perfect. We can't be perfect. We'll never be perfect.
Well, Paul He said he's just a man. He said he does the things he doesn't want to do. And he doesn't do the things that he wants to do. And I think we all...
It sounds like me all the time.
So, but yes, so I mean, we all struggle with that. And that, but it's very understood. Jesus understands. As he was on the cross, he was praying for the people and what they had done. And he was saying to forgive them, Father. So I think that's a really, really beautiful thing. And even though there was a man next to him being crucified also, he was, it didn't matter what this man's life had looked like prior. It didn't matter about however many years he had been alive. He was ready for Jesus then in that second, and it only took that second. Yeah, and Jesus said, you'll see me in paradise.
That's right.
So there's no reason to believe, I think, in this kind of God of, I want to say almost sometimes it feels like a God of just pure condemnation. Or,
yes.
Yeah, and that spirit of fear never comes from God.
No, it doesn't.
So I just think that we have to kind of hold on to that, even when we're being bombarded by this other message.
That's, we're constantly bombarded by fear, the media, the news. It's like nothing really good you ever really hear about very often.
Yeah.
And it's just constant negativity. It's all we're eating. We're seeing it. We're hearing it. It's just constant.
Yeah. And if you think about it, the most important thing, what is the overall message? Jesus came here and he left the four gospels behind. He didn't write these things. People wrote them about him. And what was the main takeaway from those? It was all about coming together.
Yep.
It was all about loving your neighbor. And when they asked him, how do we get to heaven? He said, by doing one thing, you follow all the commandments. By loving others as you love yourself, you'll do it all.
Isn't that so true though?
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to worry about, I think we get so hung up on those little tiny minute rules, whether it's reading a zodiac,
yes,
or whether it's, oh, you bought a crystal, you're a horrible person, or oh, get rid of this tree candle,
gosh,
or don't watch Mary Poppins, or just, and not to condemn any religion, religion is like this. Honestly, almost every religion is really like that. Mm-hmm. It has their own little bits and pieces, but it's like, if you just separate all of that and focus not on what the preacher or the man has ever told
yes,
you.
Yes, that's right.
And you focus solely, what did Jesus tell me?
Yep.
And it's a different story. It's a different story of just, can we just love each other and stop judging one another? And let other people find spirituality in their own way.
Yes.
And be open-minded to connecting these religions, because there's been too much separation. And separation, I don't think, is from God. I think separation is from the devil. If you really look at it, divide and conquer, it's the number one method of war.
Yes. And division. That's what they want, is division.
Exactly. They want division in the home, division in the marriage.
That's true.
Division between father and son, mother and child. You know, they want all that division, division between the communities, division between the races, division between the countries.
I know.
And it creates this horrible thing that could be so easily fixed, really, by just following what Jesus said. We would have a perfect society.
We would.
I mean, he said, if you have two coats, give one coat to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
If we all were just living in this kind of way of life, then everyone would be happy and everyone would have that community that they need.
I agree.
So it's just, how do we get there? I don't know.
Jesus needs to come back.
Yes. I think he would be, he is of course the answer to how that would happen, because then it's, you know.
Yeah. I think we've just, the human race has just messed it up so bad.
We have.
So, yeah. I think it's time for him to come on back.
I wish he would, honestly. I mean, I don't want the tribulation, but
yeah, no, I don't want that part.
But maybe we'll skip that part. I mean, it's hard to tell from the scripture exactly how it works.
Yeah, that's a thing in the Bible. I mean, you read a lot of, you really don't know how to translate it, or like you just don't know how to really understand it all. Mm-hmm. You just gotta, you know, take it and kind of understand it for yourself, and then I mean, because like a scripture you could read 100 times and yeah. one day you'll read it and be like, whoa, that stood out to me in a different way. And that's why yes. it's called the living word, because the Bible is so relevant to everything you're going through at all times in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it could just speak to you at different times and mean something totally different.
Absolutely.
But I just think we have to be, you know, listening and reading and in the word.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way we're always just available to hear what God wants to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think being open-minded to mm-hmm. just those different ways or those different methods that he may have you use mm-hmm. or different paths that he may have you go down. And I know that for me and you, reading through, one of the biggest things that stick out to us is we've both suffered from anxiety. So we're always, always thinking of how to be more positive,
yes,
and how to really believe and trust God when he tells us not to worry.
That's one of the hardest things yeah. to do.
And so, but having those positive affirmations or speaking positively has so much power. You were telling me earlier about a scientist that you were reading about.
Yes, his name was Dr. Emoto. And they did a study with like water, and they spoke to the water, and then they froze it. And the ones that they spoke like thought positive to and loving to, it made these like beautiful snowflakes, mm-hmm. made these beautiful images. And the ones they spoke negative to were like just these clumpy and ugly looking like things mm-hmm. all joined together. And I just thought that was fascinating mm-hmm. because isn't that kind of like just speaking to our children or anything else, like you really, we have to learn to speak positive over them. Even if we don't feel that way, yeah. we just have to speak life. Basically, this is what Jesus talked about, speak life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just really fascinating because I've heard the one about the plants, like, oh, I'm speaking to the plants and they did so much better.
Yes.
But this is the first time I ever heard about the one with the water turning into ice. And I just thought, wow, that gives me a new perspective. Like, I'm just going to try my best, like, not to let negative things come out of my mouth
mm-hmm.
and just start speaking positive wherever, even if I don't feel it, even yes. if I don't feel it, I'm going to speak it, and then I'll just, you know, make it till I break it, or what's
it? Yeah, fake it till you make it.
Make it. Cut that out. Yes. Fake it till you make it.
Yes, and I think that's so true, because what people don't realize is that everything has a vibration. Not just your words, but your thoughts. I mean,
oh yes,
you can hook your brain up to an EEG, and you're going to see little tiny, you know, images of energy just going through your brain at all times. We are an energetic vehicle.
Yes,
we are essentially a robot. We're a machine. We're a machine. We have all of these different things. There's a process for everything, but it's very important that we're feeding ourselves the right code.
Yes.
And when we're feeding ourselves the wrong code, we're going to have errors. Mm-hmm. And so we need to really be careful. And sometimes you don't feel like saying affirmations or saying positive things or speaking positive. I do it all the time. I struggle with it more than anything.
I would say me too.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, whether it's looking in the mirror and not liking the way I look, or just the situations and things in my life, it's such a struggle to be positive and to speak positive. But the most important thing is, it's not that we will feel that way and then we will speak that way. It's the opposite. Speaking it gets us on the vibration.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
So it's just, we have to really think of it that way. And Jesus showed us that whenever he cursed the fig tree, he proved to us that it goes both ways. That was him proving. Now, he never cursed a person.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of him. But he did show us. He cursed the fig tree. And they said, how did you do that? I mean, it shriveled up into nothing. And he said, may it never grow fruit again. So, I mean, but that's him demonstrating what do we do to ourselves? So often sometimes we're our own worst enemy because we're speaking negative.
I believe that. And I think people can do that to you as well.
Yes.
That's why it's good to surround yourself with people that are positive. And like, if they're not serving you or giving you that, then you need to walk away because it's not good for you. And I mean, of course, it's sad because, like, of course, children have to be in school, and kids are just so mean these days.
Yes.
And they hear just so many you know, their self-esteem is just tanked.
Yes.
Because, of course, society is looking at, you know, social media and all these things. They expect everything to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you're human. There's no filters. And
you're
not going to be perfect, especially when you're 13 and breaking out and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's very, when they hear those things, they start to believe those things.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we have to be very cautious just to constantly speak more than what they're getting negative.
Yeah.
So the positive can trump that.
Yes. I think you're absolutely right. And then just teaching them that, because the voice in our heads and the words that we're speaking, it's something that gets so deeply ingrained in us and we believe it.
We do.
So often it is brought to us,
mm-hmm.
and other people are giving it to us or speaking
yes.
it over us. We have to be very careful who we surround ourselves with. We have to be very careful who you tell your dreams to or who you tell your...
Yeah, don't. I just believe, like, I would only tell a very few people, of course you,
mm-hmm.
but just like if I need prayer, because really, you know, I can pray for myself, but it's always good to have a community praying for
Absolutely.
You, but you need to make sure it's a really feel a faith-based community and people that actually have your best interest,
mm-hmm.
and that are going to pray for you.
Yes, that are going to pray and that are going to pray with positive,
yes, positive
feelings
energy
and positive vibrations. You definitely don't want to tell the negative Nelly
no.
about your issue.
No.
Because that's a power too.
Don't do it.
Just like that, just like Jesus cursing that fig tree. That's a power too. You don't do it intentionally. And that's been talked about for millennium in
mm-hmm.
just about every culture there is. Usually they'll refer to it as like evil eye or something
yes.
like that. But typically it's not on purpose. It's just somebody seeing something and then that feeling that they have,
yes,
it can kind of bring something down.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have to want the best for everyone. And of course, keep your community to where it's people. You're sharing your inner self
yes.
and your inner problems, like those really personal details of your life. You do kind of want to keep it a little bit to a minimum.
I agree.
You
want
to make sure.
I totally agree.